Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be continuing our study in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, where we are taking a look at this idea of spiritual gifts, in particular, this idea of the spiritual gift of tongues. And today, the text we're going to be studying is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. And the big question is this, in verse 10, where the Apostle Paul said, "But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with." What exactly was Paul talking about? In other words, what is the perfect that is to come, or maybe has already come, whereby the partial will be done away with? What is he referring to there? Well, if you've been with us in our study, again, here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and we haven't yet gotten to 14. Today, by God's grace, we'll finish chapter 13. If you've been with us in our study, we've been taking a look at how Paul had to address that church in Corinth back then, had to address them because of their misuse and even abuse of spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, Paul kind of lays out the foundation on spiritual gifts. He talks about who has spiritual gifts, all born-again believers. He talks about how we receive spiritual gifts. They are sovereignly given by the Holy Spirit, just as He wills. Paul also talked about the purpose of our spiritual gifts. They are not for private self-edification, but rather they are to be used to benefit the body of Christ, to edify the church. And in like manner, in chapter 12, Paul talked about how all spiritual gifts matter, and how every one of us as born-again believers have been uniquely gifted with a unique combination of spiritual gifts that really make us kind of like spiritual snowflakes. Nobody is gifted in the same exact way as we are. Thus, if we don't use our spiritual gifts to edify the church suffers. In like manner, we want to be careful to not look for, lust for other gifts as though we're not satisfied nor content with the gifts the Holy Spirit's already given us. No. We don't look for more gifts. We don't lust for more gifts because the Holy Spirit has already freely given to you, Christian, the exact gifts He wants you to have. You're not going to get more gifts. You're not able to exchange what maybe you feel are kind of like the less showy or inferior gifts with ones that are more showy and superior. No, Christian, you've already been gifted with the exact gifts the Holy Spirit wants you to have so that you can bless the body of Christ and bring glory to Christ. So we don't want to get caught up in jealousy or envy or lack of contentment when we look at other people who maybe have certain gifts that we go, man, why don't I have those? Be grateful. Be content with the unique combination of gifts the Holy Spirit has given you and use them in the power of the Spirit to edify the body of Christ and to bring glory to Christ. Amen? Okay. Well, that was chapter 12, kind of laying the foundation of spiritual gifts and also giving us a pretty clear picture as to what was happening in that church in Corinth back then. Unfortunately, people were not content. Unfortunately, there was jealousy, there was envy, there was pride and self-aggrandizement. So Paul had to deal with this particular problem in that church. And then we moved into chapter 13, and Paul talked about in this chapter this idea of the preeminence of love and the permanence of love. If you recall, Paul talked about in chapter 13 about how, look, we can use our gifts and we can, you know, work hard and give our best and all that. But if we lack love, we're really nothing except a bunch of noise. Love is preeminent. Love is permanent. And then Paul kind of narrowed down a few specific gifts: the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of tongues. Gifts that it seems that the Corinthians were lusting for. And if you recall last time in our study in verse 8, Paul said to them, love never fails, love never falls or permanently decays. Love is going to last throughout all eternity. But when it comes to the gift of prophecy and the gift of knowledge, as we studied last time, those two gifts will be done away with. Something or someone will cause the gifts of prophecy and knowledge to cease. But the gift of tongues, verse 8, as we studied last time, they will cease on their own. And we discussed briefly, and we'll continue to discuss this idea as to why we teach the gift of tongues, the real gift, has already ceased. We're going to talk more about that in chapter 14, because in chapter 14, he really gets into this idea of tongues, the counterfeit that some of the Corinthians were using back in that church, and even the real gift which some of the Corinthians were misusing in that church. But we're going to save this idea of tongues until chapter 14. But again, we saw the distinction last time: the gift of prophecy, the gifts of prophecy and knowledge, versus the gift of tongues. Prophecy and knowledge will cease. Something or someone will cause them to cease. Tongues will simply cease on their own. Well, in our text for today, again, chapter 13, verses 9 through 13, Paul tells us what is going to cause the gifts of prophecy and knowledge to be done away with. Verse 10, when the perfect comes. The partial, referring to the gifts of prophecy and knowledge, will be done away with. Cartargetoed. The question again is, what exactly is the perfect Paul is referring to? Some say the perfect refers to the finished canon of Scripture, that which was completed at the end of the first century by the last living apostle, the Apostle John. We would say, though, the canon of Scripture is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God, we would say that God's Word is perfect because God is perfect. But in this context, we would say that the perfect to come doesn't refer to the closed canon of Scripture. And I'll explain why in a few moments. Still others say that the perfect that is to come refers to Christ himself, his second coming. Now, again, we would certainly declare the perfection of Christ, right? The sinlessness of Christ, the deity of Christ. But again, in this context, we would teach that the perfect does not refer to Christ himself. Okay, Andrew, the perfect doesn't refer to the canon of Scripture. If the perfect does not refer to Christ, okay, Andrew, what do you guys teach when it comes to the perfect? We teach the perfect refers to the eternal state. Why? Because in the Greek, the word perfect is not in the masculine. Thus, it does not refer to Christ himself. Rather, the word perfect is in the neuter. So if you put that together, what Paul here is saying, when the perfect comes, something such as a time period. What is that perfect time period? Where we will not need the gift of prophecy any longer, nor will we need this struggling with our imperfect knowledge. The perfect, we teach, refers to the eternal state when we're in glory. Let's put it together. Again, verse 8, Paul concludes this chapter, chapter 13, his famous chapter on love, by talking about the permanence of love. Love never fails. But where there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. When? When the perfect comes. Where there are gifts of tongues, they will cease. When? On their own. If there's a gift of knowledge, it also will be done away with. When? When the perfect comes. Verse 9. For we know, talking to believers, we know how, in part. We prophesy how, in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Do you see it? Look, as born-again believers, we are now alive in the spiritual realm. Praise God. God the Holy Spirit lives in us. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is his ministry of illumination. Whereas we study the word that he inspired, the Holy Spirit gives us greater illumination or understanding to the truth he inspired. But our knowledge, which increases, is still partial, right? I mean, we would like to know everything in the scriptures, but our knowledge here on earth is limited. Yes, it continues to increase the more we are under the sanctifying power of the word. But nevertheless, on this side of heaven, our knowledge will always be partial. But when we get to the eternal state, when the perfect comes, think of our knowledge then. We will be with Christ. We will have no sin nature. We will not be living in a sinful, fallen world, surrounded by sinners and all the distractions of this world. Think about our knowledge then. Think about how much more we will be learning throughout all eternity. And the beautiful part is this: we will constantly be learning more and more about our triune God, because God is infinite. We will still be finite beings. Yes, we will be in glory. We will not have a sin nature. Yes, we will be Christ-like, but there is still a separation between us, the created finite beings, and our triune God, the creator, the divine being, the infinite divine being. Do you see it? So people ask me all the time, oh, you know, gosh, what are we going to do in heaven? They almost make it sound like after a while we're going to get bored. What? Not a chance. We will continue. I mean, think about how you feel now. When you're studying the scriptures and the Holy Spirit illumines more truth to you, think about how blessed you feel, right? Think about how joyful you are. And think about how much sturdier you are in that truth. Guys, our knowledge here is partial. Can you only imagine then? In like manner, end of verse 9, he says we prophesy in part. As we've studied, back then, prophesying could refer to either new revelation from God. We would call that the revelatory part of prophecy. Or prophesying could also refer to back then simply proclaiming already given truth from God. We would call that declaratory prophecy. So back then you had revelatory prophecy, new revelation. You also had declaratory prophecy, where preachers declared already given, not new, but already given truth from God. Well, we know that new revelation has ceased because, again, the canon of Scripture is complete. But declaratory prophecy, that which I'm doing right now, I'm not giving you new revelation. I'm simply declaring to you that which God has already revealed, right? Well, think about not only here on earth is our knowledge partial, but so is our preaching, right? I mean, I study hard and I pray and, you know, man, I try my best to be prepared to teach you guys, but my prophesying is partial, right? So your knowledge and understanding of God's truth is partial. My prophesying is partial. But verse 10, when the perfect comes, the eternal state, the partial will be done away with. Not only will your knowledge skyrocket, you know, in terms of your understanding of our triune God. But think also of who's going to be teaching you. It's not going to be Andrew. You're right now getting the amateur. You're going to get the perfect one declaring truth to you then. Do you see it? And so putting this together, Paul was basically saying to the Corinthians, look, quit lusting for the gifts of prophecy, for the gifts of knowledge, for the gift of tongues. Because Paul said, those three gifts are not permanent. Love is. Love lasts throughout all eternity. But Paul said, those three gifts, they're not permanent. Tongues are going to cease on their own. Knowledge and prophecy will be done away when? When the perfect comes. The partial will be done away with. And again, the reason why we don't teach that the perfect refers to the closed canon of Scripture is because, do we still have declaratory prophecy after the canon of Scripture was closed? Yes, what I'm doing now. So we say that the perfect in this context doesn't refer to the closed canon of Scripture. Also, as I said earlier, we don't teach that the perfect refers to Christ's second coming because, again, the word perfect is not in the masculine. If it referred to Christ himself coming, then the word perfect would be in the masculine. Rather, it is in the neuter. Neuter, which refers to something, right? Well, what is that something that we are looking forward to that is perfect, where our knowledge will not be partial like it is now? Preaching, learning the word will not be partial like it is now. What is that something? We teach the eternal state. And I think the context also supports that interpretation because in verse 11, Paul gives a couple analogies here. Verse 11, he talks about a child. He says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. Paul's using an analogy here, really referring to us right now on this side of heaven. Our thinking is still childish. our acting is still childish, right? Our reasoning is still childish because our knowledge is partial. My preaching is partial. But when we reach full maturity, when we become fully mature adults, when is that? When the perfect comes. What is the perfect in this context? The eternal state. We do away with childish things, right? No more partial. He gives another analogy, verse 12. And notice how he uses the contrast between now and then. Now and then. Now, here on earth, then the eternal state. Verse 12, for now, we as believers see in a mirror. I believe he's referring to the mirror of Scripture. Who do we see? Christ. For those of you who attend our Lord's Day services, we are going through verse by verse, doing expositional study through all four of the Gospels. That's called the Harmony of the Gospels, where we try to, as best we can, follow the steps of our Lord chronologically during his life and ministry here on earth. Well, we get to look into the mirror of God's Word and see Christ constantly. I mean, the Gospels, all about Christ, right? But now, even though we're doing that, we see Christ in the mirror of his word dimly, right? Again, it's not that God's word is the problem. It's us, right? We're fallen. So Paul says, now we see in a mirror dimly. But then, when the eternal state, when the perfect comes, Paul said, I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Let's put it together. Verse 10, when the perfect comes, we teach the perfect is the eternal state. The partial, knowledge, prophecy, will be done away with. Paul uses two analogies. Verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. That's a picture of us on this side of heaven. Then Paul says, but when I became a man, I did away with childish things. That's a picture of us in the eternal state. Second analogy, verse 12, for now, Paul says, here on earth, we see Christ in the mirror of his word, but we see him dimly. But then, Paul says, we will see him face to face. When is the then? When the perfect comes. What is the perfect? Neuter, eternal state. Now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Now, I know, in parts. But then, I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Do you see it? And so, we teach that when the perfect comes, refers to the eternal state. Two reasons. Number one, the perfect is in the neuter, not in the masculine. Number two, I think the context supports that interpretation of the eternal state. He talks about now we're like children, then we'll be like mature adults. Now we see Christ dimly in the mirror of his word, but then we'll see him face to face. Now we know in part, now we prophesy in part, but then can you only imagine our knowledge of God and being taught by our glorious God? And then Paul concludes chapter 13 in verse 13 by saying, but now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. What does he mean there? Right now, here on this side of heaven, we walk by faith. But then we won't need faith because we will see face to face. Now we have the hope, the eager anticipation of glory. Then we won't need the hope because our hope will be fully realized. Do you see it? But love, Paul says, love is the greatest because we have love now, love for God and love for God's people. That love lasts throughout all eternity. And that love becomes greater and greater because we are not in our fallen state. And as we learn more about our triune God, as we are taught more and more by our triune God, the result is we will love him more and more and more. A love for him and for our brothers and sisters in glory. And think about our love. We won't have a sin nature. We won't be surrounded by sinners. Think about that. We have love now. We will have love throughout all eternity. And what will happen again is we learn more about God. Because right now our knowledge is partial. Our prophesying is partial. But then, think about our worship. Think about our adoration, our exaltation. Think about then, when the perfect comes. And let me just take you real quick to 1 John. We see the same interplay between now and then. 1 John chapter 3, as I conclude. Verses 1 through 3. Paul says, or John, I should say, says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, talking to believers, that we would be called children of God, and such we are now. It's not like we have to wait until then, until we're children of God. No. Through the perfect, once for all, substitutionary atonement of Christ, Christian, your sins have been paid for. God's wrath has been satisfied, appeased towards you, because Christ bore the wrath for you. Well, by God's grace, when you were regenerated, not only were you given the gift of faith to be able to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ alone, but you were also justified, declared not guilty and righteous in God's sight because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, and you were also adopted into God's family. You're a child of God now, Christian. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And here it is. Watch this. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, but it has not appeared as of yet what we will be. We know we're going to be Christ-like. But what exactly does that look like? I don't know. Because I only know me in my fallen state. I don't know what I'm going to be like. I know Christ-like, but I don't know exactly how that's going to look because I only know me with my sin nature. Now I'm a child of God. But then, oof, we don't yet know what we're going to be, how that's going to look. We know, he goes on to say, that when he, Christ, appears, we will be like him. We won't be him, but we will be in glory, fully Christ-like. And we will see him just as he is. Now, we're children of God. Praise God. But then, the eternal state? We're going to be Christ-like. We're going to be fully mature in Christ. We're going to see him face to face. Whoa! When does this happen? The eternal state. Now, we're children of God. Our knowledge is partial. Our prophesying is partial. Then, when the perfect comes, oof. And that's why verse 3, John said, everyone who has this hope fixed on Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. And so I think today we were able to address that question. What exactly is the perfect to come where the partial will be done away with? And next study, we'll enter into chapter 14. And let me tell you, we're going to be talking a ton about tongues. The counterfeit, the gibberish, and the real genuine gift. Clear, intelligible foreign languages. But you've got to wait until next time.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at PastorAndrew@AOL.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.